pretty high. An example I always use.
Call the Civil Law Committee to order. The clerk will note the quorum is present. And is there a motion to approve the 2:28:011 minutes?
I make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilty moves to approve the 2:28:011 minutes. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Representative Anderson is here with House File 625 relating to liability protection for grazing livestock on DNR lands or public lands. Representative Anderson, the chair will move House File 625 for passage and re-referral to the General Register. Representative Anderson, you want to proceed and introduce your bill, and how many witnesses do you have?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of witnesses, maybe one on the other side of the fence as well, but thank you,
okay.
Mr. Chairman.
All right. Tell us what your bill will do and the purpose of it.
Thanks, Mr. Chair and members. My House File 625 was kind of an idea in shape or in progress. I live in an area of the state where we still have a lot of cattlemen left that graze beef cattle, for example, and pasture land is getting expensive and in short supply. It's hard to cash flow if you run cows and cattle on some of this high-priced land. So there's getting to be more thought, more movement to allowing cattle to be grazed on some public lands, DNR and U.S. Fish and Wildlife lands, and in talking with cattlemen and also with DNR personnel, it can get to be kind of a win-win situation where the cattlemen can get some additional land to graze his cattle on, and the DNR in this case would have another tool to maintain the land, to trim the weeds and grass down, have the cattle do it, to maybe get by with one fewer controlled burn possibly over a 4 or 5 year cycle. So it's really kind of a win-win situation. And we first got talking about this with DNR personnel in the Energy, Environment, Natural Resources Committee, that they want to try to do more of this type of grazing on public land. But there was a concern by cattlemen as to what their liability would be if, in fact, some kind of an accident occurred through no fault of their own when they're grazing cattle on these public lands. We have this bill drawn up, and as I say, it's probably a work in progress, because there are some questions being brought up, and we'll address those as we go on today. And hopefully we can arrive at something that is agreeable. It makes sense for all parties. It basically would say that if somebody would crawl over, under, around, or through a fence and walk out into an area where there are cattle grazing, for example, and if an accident were to happen through no fault of the cattle owner, that they would not be subject to liability for an injury or, heaven forbid, a death in that type of situation. So I have a couple of witnesses, Mr. Chairman, who would come down and talk about some of the nuances of this law.
Okay, let's have them come forward. If they both want to come at the same time, that's fine, or whichever way you'd like to proceed. And we'll go from there. And then I know there is at least one person that wants to testify in opposition or with concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Bruce Clavin, Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association. Good to be in front of your committee, Mr. Chairman.
Well, welcome to our committee, Mr. Clavin.
Thank you.
Clavin.
It's not often the ag guys get down here in civil law, but good to be here. Thank you.
We know where our bread and butter comes from, Mr. Clavin. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Anderson described the bill. It's really very simple. Our executive director, Joe Martin, was going to be here today but couldn't, so I'm kind of pinch-hitting for him today. Understand our members have been working with the DNR on this issue, and they've been talking about increasing the amount of grazing that goes on in the state land. A couple of you are on the Environment Committee. There's been quite a discussion this year about public land use, ownership, maintenance, and so forth. And one of those components of the discussion is, could grazing be an avenue that we could increase on state land? I understand Mr. Carlson, I just talked to him with the Minnesota Institute for Justice. We're going to be talking with him. I was not involved in the drafting this bill or working on it, so we'll be talking with him as we go here. We just touched base with each other. The idea here, as Representative Anderson said, is just simply to address the liability that may happen while you're grazing on state land. State land would be different than having a private piece of grass or on your own farm. You don't really interact with the public very much on your own farm, but on the state land that may happen inadvertently or on purpose by members of the public. And so this bill is simply trying to address that issue.
Thank you. Representative Anderson, who's the second one you have?
There may have been somebody from the DNR here. I'm not sure if that's the case. They knew about the hearing today.
I understand he's not here. Is there anybody from the DNR here? No. Okay, and I understand that this is something you've worked with them on, Representative Anderson and Mr. Clavin.
Mr. Chairman, we've worked on the basic idea. I had the bill drawn up and haven't had any actual feedback on the bill from DNR as of yet, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Clavin, how is, and maybe this isn't your area to answer, but what would happen if this bill doesn't pass? Is the DNR just not going to go down this road, or they're more reluctant? Do they do this in any case now where cattlemen graze on public grounds? And what's the standard now if we don't have this bill?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. There has been a program with the DNR over the years called Working Lands Initiative. It allows for some grazing currently. If the bill doesn't pass, I think it would be a little bit of reluctance on the cattlemen's part to enter into the grazing agreements with the potential of the liability sitting out there. I don't know if that would be the case, but that would be my guess. I don't think it would be the DNR being more reluctant.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So they're currently, cattlemen are currently entering into these contracts, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hillstrom, I think there are some.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
I know we've had the Working Lands Initiative, but how far that has been used, I don't know.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as it is currently, they're entering into them, so clearly they're getting some benefit. But you're saying that they won't enter into them if this doesn't become law, but they already are doing it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hillstrom, what I'm trying to say is I don't think they would not do it, but they may not do it as much. It depends on the area. Take the hunting land or maybe near a state trail, for example. There's going to be a potential to interact with the public there. Someone may not enter into a grazing agreement there unless this kind of thing is sorted out ahead of time. As I mentioned, on your own pasture, you're not really going to have a hiker coming through there. But on state land, there may be some. There may be that exposure somewhere.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson, are there, do you have samples of current grazing agreements? Are you aware of any? I'm kind of curious about what kind of agreement has or might exist between the cattle owner and the DNR in terms of, you know, restricted access, etc. Are you aware of what a grazing agreement would stipulate?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hilty, no, I am not aware of what the current agreements would say. And as Mr. Clavin testified, there is this uncertainty out there right now as to what would happen if a situation occurred. So this would attempt to clear up that uncertainty and make it more clear as to what would be expected of each party. But as to what the current agreements are, I have not seen any and don't know what they exactly say.
Representative Anderson, I'm wondering if we should ask Mr. Carlson to come and offer some testimony that might help answer some questions or raise some issues that I know they have as well, and we can continue discussion and questions after that. And Mr. Clavin, you'll stick around?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Carlson, Joel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Joel Carlson for the Association for Justice. I had a chance to talk with Representative Anderson about this bill and certainly understand the public purpose that he's trying to to achieve here, which is greater use of state land, which would generate revenue for the state and benefits our agricultural industry by having more access to grazing lands for cattlemen. And so, you know, we're not at cross purposes with the objectives. The issue here is that many or most of state lands that that we have right now are open for public use for sportsmen, snowmobiles, ATV riding, and so there is an interplay here when they have a lease arrangement with a rancher to use the property, and where does the liability fall? As I went through the bill with Representative Anderson, I think there are some maybe unintended consequences to the language of the bill, and I think we both agreed we could continue to work on this in the future. But if you look at the bill on lines 1.12 through 1.15, the concern there isn't that the language is bad. The concern is that it is what their standard of care is right now. When the language says that it does not relieve you of your duty to exercise reasonable care in using the land for grazing or in managing the livestock, that is what their duty is right now. And so our concern is that someone who's going to read this is going to say, this really doesn't do anything for me because it doesn't alleviate any responsibility that I have relative to using the land. And I'm fine with that. But I don't think that accomplishes the objective of the author, because that is their duty right now. The language problem with paragraph C, lines 1.16 through 1.20, is that it, as written, the exception for willful or reckless disregard for the safety only deals with the entity not maintaining a condition of their lease agreement. It's not whether or not I am willful or reckless as it relates to my duty to the public. And what we talked about on that is actually just deleting the requirement as it relates to a condition in violation of an agreement with the commissioner, and just to say if you're acting with willful or reckless disregard, this any protection wouldn't be afforded to you. And I think that is kind of what we had discussed as being a more appropriate wording of that. But need to know that the language that that we have right now relative to livestock activities, this is a bill passed in 1994, only applies to nonprofit companies. It doesn't apply. We really haven't gone down the path in Minnesota of providing immunity or liability protection for for-profit companies, whether they're farmers or cheeseburger manufacturers, or I don't know what else I'll get in front of you here on this year, whether it's hinnies or goats or those terrible ostrich, which are really nasty. They're not protected by this, by the way. It's just we need to look at the entire law, because if you look even at our criminal statute, 609.205, which deals with manslaughter in the second degree. If I negligently don't fence in my animal and it causes serious bodily injury or death, I'm subject to a criminal charge of manslaughter, and that's just a negligence standard. Criminal charge, 10 years in jail and a $20,000 civil penalty for not maintaining my animal. So, I mean, if we lowered the standard for the cattleman, we would set up, I think, a perverse situation where I can be criminally charged for not maintaining my animal, by negligently not maintaining my animal, but the person who's injured wouldn't have a civil cause of action. I don't think that's anyone's intent, but if the language is intended to lower their liability beyond a negligence standard, that's the situation that you would set up. And, you know, it's completely opposite of how we treat our own pets. And I also provided a copy of the law to the committee relative to our liability for owning dogs. And if our dog, under statute 47.01, if our dog harasses the cattle or causes injury to the cattle, I'm jointly and severally liable to the to the farmer for any damage that that causes. I mean, I think we need to look at this with all of the other parts of a law that interplay here, including my right to be on the land as a sportsman. I don't want to be around. I'm an avid outdoorsman, and I see Representative Hoppy's not here, and he probably could comment on this as well. You don't want to be around the bull when you're out in the field, and most people know that. But it's the farmer that owns that bull that knows its propensities, knows if people are going to be on the land, and that's where the responsibility should be. We know as sportsmen to not harass or in any way interfere with animals when they're grazing, but the responsibility really needs to the one who's in control of the land, in control of the livestock, and that's where I think we want to get to. Mm-hmm. So happy to answer questions, Mr. Chairman, and members, particularly want to talk about, talk about what the duty of an owner or possessor of land is to the public, because they do have a responsibility, whether it's the sidewalk outside or the farmland where they are grazing cattle. They do have responsibilities, and that's well-established law, and we'd like to try and keep that in place while still accomplishing the public purpose that Representative Anderson has brought to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Representative Hilty has a question.
Actually, a couple questions, Mr. Chair. First of all, has this bill been moved before the committee?
It has, Representative. I moved it, the chair.
And what is your... What is your plan?
Intent of disposition? I was going to let the questions and discussion go, but I had brought an amendment myself to change Section C to clarify a little, but I'm thinking it might need more work than that, Representative Hilty, and so unless the committee is intent on getting it out, and I don't sense that right now, I think it needs to probably be laid over for work between the parties, and the authors also expressed an interest in doing that, so that would be my intent at this time.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think I'm glad to hear that. I think that's appropriate. I do have a question regarding fencing. Representative Anderson, is a fence one of the inherent risks of livestock activities?
Mr. Chair, I didn't hear. Did you say is a fence?
Yes.
Can you restate that question, Representative Hilty? I'm not sure he understood it.
Well, Mr. Chair, what I'm thinking is it's very likely, I presume, that if one were to make an arrangement to graze cattle on public land, that it would be fenced. And it seems to me that the act of fencing land that previously had not been fenced would have a great possibility of incurring some liability. I mean, if you run into a fence that you didn't know was there because you had gone down a path or across a field any number of times previously and were injured by that, would that be a liability that one would be immune from in this bill? A number of questions like that that probably to some degree need to be answered by the DNR. I'm kind of disappointed that they're not here. But Representative Anderson, I think you implied that the DNR is in support of this bill, but perhaps not to the degree to show up and tell us how it would work.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hilty, I did meet with the Legislative Affairs Director for the DNR this morning, and I don't think they're here to necessarily support this bill. I think they would like to have the ability to work with ranchers to open up more land for grazing. I don't know that this is their preferred vehicle to get there, but I think that as to that objective, of utilizing more of the state's resources for grazing, I think they would like to accomplish that objective. I don't know that that this language or that issue is preventing that, but it has come up. It is an issue for people that are entering into these agreements. As to your question on fencing, you know, that's why I have concerns about the language. I mean, generally, if you put up a fence where the snowmobile trail goes across, and you're in possession of that land, you've got a duty to the people that are coming onto the property. You've got a duty as a possessor of that land to warn them of that hazard. If I breach that duty, I could be subject to liability. What I wanted to make sure we don't get to in this law is that that you have a standard of willful or reckless in not warning someone and then lowering their liability. And that's the distinction in the language that I don't think Representative Anderson wants that, at least based on my discussions with him. And I just don't think we're quite there with this language yet.
Representative Hilty, any follow-up?
Mr. Chair, I agree.
Okay. Representative Druskowski has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a general question. I don't, or maybe an observation. Representative Anderson, I think what you're trying to get at here is again the inherent risks that are there. If you've got a fence and you got livestock. I mean, I've raised cattle. You've raised cattle. A tree falls down on the fence. The cattle get out, and things happen. You have somebody that's hunting near the area there, or maybe in the fenced-in area, shoots a gun, the livestock bolt, and you get things that happen. You get people who maybe cut the fence down or some other things. Maybe somebody gets injured on the fence. Maybe it's grown rusted and they're afraid they're going to get tetanus or something. These are the type of things I gather you're looking at to address with the bill. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Druskowski, yes, and just clear up the uncertainties as to what would happen in situations like that. I've heard also that people may be going through an area, and rather than climb over the fence, they would cut the wire, which certainly would not be the farmer's fault in that situation if the cattle got out. So those are the things that we'd like to clear up and make it more clear for both sides here so we can move ahead and try to facilitate and make this practice a little bit easier for all involved.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Carlson.
Members, I think that just points out why we need to kind of look at what these duties and responsibilities are, because the example that you just gave, Representative Druskowski, is not an inherent risk of livestock activities. And so the example that you just gave would not be covered by this bill because it only addresses injuries that result from the inherent risks of livestock activities as defined in 604A12. That doesn't include cutting the fence. It doesn't include them getting off of the property. So, I mean, I think we really need to work on, you know, what the responsibility is of that cattleman when they're leasing that property to provide clarity. Because the example you gave would not be covered by this bill.
Mr. Carlson, Representative Anderson, to this issue, I think what you're trying to get at is maybe the classic example of a hunter knowing or unknowingly walking into an area that's got livestock, and let's use a bull for an example, that charges them and is protecting their territory and knocks them over and injures them. Or worse, you know, kills them. That's an inherent risk just because you can't predict what cattle will do or if they shoot their gun and come charging through the fence. I imagine that would be more of an inherent risk because of a sound that spooked them and the farmer, if you will, can't control everything on their livestock, i.e. if somebody spooks them with a loud shot. Would that be more what you're trying to cover here, Representative Anderson? And Mr. Carlson, would you agree with that more as the focus?
Mr. Chairman, if I could comment on that, we're getting into a lot of hypothetical situations here, and my first comment would be, come October or hunting time, I would not want my cattle out there. You'd want a short grazing season. A lot of this we're talking about is what they call flash grazing, where you'd put a high number of cattle out there for a very short period of time, 30 days, for example. It would be a short duration of grazing to get that grass cut down. And I remember when I used to raise cattle back home and run them on corn stalks in the fall, come that first day of deer hunting season, I locked my cows up in the yard. I didn't want them out there with a chance of a stray slug getting in or hitting one of my cattle. So that would behoove the farmer in this case to not be grazing out there during a heavily hunting period, I would assume. So more looking at just the everyday situations that could occur from having cattle being run on public land is what I'm looking at here, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hillstrom had a question. And members, I think we'd be helping the author and all the parties if we can raise the questions, but I do think this bill needs to be laid over, and I think it probably makes sense to try to come up with a way if that's an impediment for us entering into contracts with farmers or farmers entering into contracts with the DNR, but I don't think this bill, I think it needs some work. And so if we can help the author and the parties involved by raising the questions, I think it'll be the easiest for them to come up with a resolution to this with the idea that maybe something should be done to help foster this this direction. Representative Hillstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So taking hunting or four-wheeling, if a member of the public is out on this land and they are doing those activities, either hunting or going out on a four-wheeler ATV, and they run into the cow, does the hunter or shoot the cow, does the hunter or the snowmobile or rider or the ATVer have a liability to the farmer if they do damage to the cow?
Mr. Carlson, you know the answer, or Representative Anderson?
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Hillstrom, the answer is absolutely yes. They have liability to the farmer for damage to their domestic animals.
Okay, Mr. Chair?
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you. Then a follow-up to that. So then if the cow ran into the farmer or the ATVer, would the farmer have liability to the hunter or the ATVer under this bill?
Mr. Carlson, Chair and Representative Hillstrom, you have hit the crux of the issue that we're trying to sort out here, because it really gets down to what the person was doing on the land. Was it for a recreational activity? And if it was a recreational activity, we already have a law dealing with recreational use of land, and your duty or your the liability of that landowner to the person who's using that property for recreational purpose in 604A is that you have a duty to warn them of known dangers that they would not discover on their own. And so if the cow running into you was a known danger, they would have a duty to warn you of that before you enter onto the property. But, I mean, that's how confusing. The language of this bill doesn't change that. That's why I don't. They would have that reasonable care standard under this bill. So that's their duty. Their duty is to warn you of conditions that you wouldn't know about when you're on the land. That's their only responsibility.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. If I could add to that, in the example of taking a four-wheeler into this area. Again, bear in mind that this area is fenced, so you would have to either open a gate or take down the fence to get your four-wheeler onto this land being grazed by the cattle. So to me, I would think by doing that, you would be taking your own responsibility going into this area. If it has to be posted or marked, I could go along with doing that. But once you physically open a gate or take a fence down to cross over it, I think you would be, in my mind, liable for damages you would do to spooking those cattle, for example, if you buzz across there or chase them with a four-wheeler.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But that assumes that the person who crosses over, that's the hunter or the ATV, mm-hmm, or the snowmobiler, actually is the one that took down the fence, and not that the fence wasn't taken down by someone else or at a different time or by an act of nature, and then they go on to the land.
You're very correct, yes, Representative.
And Mr. Chairman, I would...
Mr. Carlson.
I think Representative Hilty had a very good suggestion, which is, to see what a grazing contract looks like and how they, among the contracting parties, shift and determine their liability. That may already be covered in these contracts. In fact, I'd be quite certain that it is referenced in their contract. And that is maybe a better way to address the liability and indemnification between the contracting parties, as opposed to a statute where you can't anticipate every scenario that might happen.
Mr. Carlson, or maybe Mr. Gehring, walk the committee through a current situation, or Representative Anderson, maybe you know this as well. Farmer X has his own pasture land, and let's just say he's not on, Farmer X has his own pasture land. Walk the committee through the duties right now that the farmer has to the public, if the public comes into their pasture land, it's one set of duties. What if those cattle get out on a ditch or a road or somebody else's land? How does that change in the current scheme we've got in front of us? And maybe Mr. Carlson, you don't know, Mr. Gehring, if he has any input on that, but just enlighten us for that, and then how that would play into this bill. I think it would be a helpful comparison.
Mr. Chairman and members, the responsibility doesn't change whether it is leased land or is privately owned land. The obligation is for a possessor of land. They are in control of the property. So whether or not I'm leasing the property for grazing purpose or I own fee title to it, my responsibility would be the same. So that doesn't change your liability, whether or not it is operated under a lease or whether or not you own it. That doesn't change. So that's, I think, question number one, right? Is it different if it's leased or owned? And the answer is it's not different. The liability is the same. And the duty, which I should provide to the committee, we have an instruction for jurors when there is an issue over the duty of a possessor of land and what duty they owe, and it's different whether or not you're inviting people on your property as opposed to whether or not they're trespassing on your property, and I can supply the committee with both of those two duties and responsibilities that they have. You have a higher duty if you are inviting people onto your property. You have a higher duty to actually take action to try and protect them, as opposed to a trespasser who you have a very low duty to, which is only to warn them of a latent condition that they wouldn't discover that could cause serious bodily damage or harm. That's really your only liability to a trespasser, which the law already requires or already covers for people that are on the land, private or public, for recreational purpose.
Mr. Carlson, what if the cattle get out on your own land, and then under your scenario, if they're leasing it from the DNR, it would be land that they're possessing. Do they owe a different duty if the cattle become uncontained, or does it not change?
Mr. Chair and members, you have a duty of reasonable care to control your animals, and even more so when you know they have a propensity for vicious conduct. So you have a duty to use reasonable care to control your animal on your property or property that you are in possession of. So when the cow gets out of the, or horse, it's more common with horse, gets out of the fenced area, and I actually know of a situation down by Mankato right now where the horse did get out, it was not fenced, the owner didn't go and get it, and ran into a car, which caused very serious damage. That owner has responsibility because they didn't use reasonable care to control their animal. I don't know what the outcome of that case will be, but I know it's happened. I know it's that does that such a situation can exist. And you do have a responsibility to keep your animal confined.
Representative Anderson, to that point, if you're leasing land and your animals get out, trying to think of how this bill would affect, and let's just say you're next to a state park where there might be more people and the cattle get out and run into that camping area. Mr. Gehring, maybe I'll ask you this question. Does that change the liability here? It's an inherent risk of cattle that take off running when they get out of a fence. Does that change under this bill? And I'm just trying to fully digest this for myself and the committee.
Can you say the first part of the question again?
Does it change the liability in this bill for the farmer if the cattle are in the fence area that they've leased from the DNR, or if they get out? Let's say there's a state park land that they're leasing, but they get out and get into the camping area. What changes for the farmer or the campers that get run over by the cattle in more danger or less danger under this bill?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if it changes any of the duties of the parties involved, and I'm not sure that the bill changes the liabilities at all. If the cattle get out of the fenced-in grazed area on the public property and get to some other area and cause damage, I think that as long as that the farmer had taken reasonable actions to keep the animals within the fenced-in area or to keep them within the property that they're supposed to be on, I think they may still be immune from liability under this bill if they cause damage outside of that area. But I guess it's not really clear from the language itself how that situation would be addressed.
And to your point, Mr. Gehring, under the current situation, the farmer, as long as they've taken reasonable care, they would probably be immune. This bill wouldn't be expanding that either way. I mean, it'd be the current status, which Mr. Carlson just talked to us about, the reasonable care if there's exercise, let's just say, 10 minutes after they got out, the farmer heard about it and rounded up a dozen people to try to go herd the cattle up. They're probably taking reasonable steps to try to remedy the situation. They had a good fence in place. They probably aren't going to be liable under the situation because they've taken reasonable steps. Either way.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I think that's correct. That I don't think this bill changes those liabilities or immunities.
Okay. Mr. Carlson, Representative Anderson, and I think I've given you a copy of some language that we talked with Mr. Gehring ahead of time just about maybe trying to clean up Section C. In my reading of it, I didn't think it read real clear. I'm not sure that's the right language to clean it up, but I would. Does the committee have that? Members, I'll pass that out just so people can look at it. With the idea that we're going to lay this bill over, I think it just would be language that maybe Mr. Carlson, Mr. Clavin, and Representative Anderson, along with the DNR, you might want to look at. There probably is other changes that could be made to achieve what we're trying to achieve, but not have the open-ended questions. Members, other questions, comments? That we could leave the author with as helpful information in trying to fix this bill up. Representative Grunhagen, and then Representative Grunhagen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifiers, do you believe that you two can come up with a solution for the concerns that have been raised here today?
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm absolutely confident that we can meet with the DNR and find out what the concerns about liability are for people that are entering into these contracts. And if there needs to be statutory language, we're happy to try and work that out. I'm not certain that it's needed, but if it is, we'd be happy to work that out.
I would agree with that as well, Representative.
Okay. Tom Peterson's here with the Farmers Union and would like to offer some testimony. Tom, could you come forward to the committee?
Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Tom, welcome to our committee. If you want to identify yourself for the record, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be real brief. My name's Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union, and we're supportive of the concept of this bill and want to work with the author. A couple of things or suggestions we have or want to look at, and I was trying to do it this morning, just didn't get it done, but a lot of our members in western states graze on federal land, some fenced, some unfenced, and you know, so there is precedence for this in other parts of the country, and so we're kind of looking at that or trying to figure out how that works, and that's one suggestion I think that we would make, because I do. The other thing that brought this up real quick is that the commissioner of the DNR has stated that he'd like to, you know, I think a lot of you have heard that the DNR is the largest landowner. The state of Minnesota is the third largest landowner. And a study came out saying that they're not managing their property. And so the idea was to not just help farmers, but also identify some lands we could generate some income off of and use. And so the new DNR commissioner has committed to trying to identify some of those lands and property, and we think that's a good idea, but then looking at how would this work out. Another thing I was just thinking about looking at was right now, and it's too bad the DNR is not here, because I would ask them too about right now. Currently, I was just thinking in the audience, I'm a horse owner, and I go riding in horse or DNR parks in the state now currently. And we also, horses aren't technically livestock, although there's a bill to do that here too. You know, we stable our horses overnight in the DNR parks. And they have signs, liability signs now currently in the park. And I would look at those and what those say and work on some of that and trying to correlate that. And I just wanted to offer that as a suggestion too. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. You jogged my memory. I was thinking this morning, too, about federal lands. I know there's a lot of grazing out in the Dakotas and Montana and Colorado, Wyoming area. It'd be interesting, Representative Anderson, maybe we could get some guidance from what they do, because I know it works well there. The DNR does have a problem in managing this land, and it doesn't seem like it makes sense that we just let it grow up into thistles and weeds or have to burn it when we could have a win-win, maybe generate some income off of it, but also do some natural grazing and management of it that way. So, Mr. Peterson, I appreciate your interest in this issue. One more comment, and maybe, Mr. Peterson, you know, but I know there's public waters right now that the DNR leases out to fisheries, and I don't know if there's a correlation between them and what they do in renting out public lands, but might be another area that has some precedence or similarity concerns. Representative Anderson, might be something that would be helpful to look at that. Mr. Peterson, any thoughts on that?
Mr. Chairman, that's a good thought also. I don't know how that works either, but that's a good thought. So definitely does happen.
Any other questions, members? Any other persons in the audience that want to testify for or against this bill? Having none, members, I'll move to lay this bill on the table, and just to the author and to the parties, if you guys can work something out, I think let us know, but I think there'd be some interest in this committee working this out and seeing this go forward with the DNR, but Representative Anderson, you've expressed a willingness to work on this, and hopefully this has been helpful to get us closer to that point. The chair will move to lay this bill on the table. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed signify by saying aye. Motion prevails. The bill is HF 625 is laid on the table. Members, that's the only bill we have for today, and so the meeting is adjourned.